Hey everyone, DJ Culp here, one of the hosts of the Men Church Stuff podcast. I have some very exciting news. Starting next week, Monday, October 21st, we will begin a collaboration relationship with the Green Frog Coffee Company here in Jackson, Tennessee. Each Monday, there will be a coupon code announced somewhere during the show. Mention this code at the North Green Frog location near Union University, and you will receive $2 off your order. Ready? All day. That's right, $2 off your order all day long. We are very excited to support this local coffee shop that's built on Christian values with coffee so good a snowman would drink it. So be ready to listen in every Men Church Stuff Mondays for the code and get $2 off your order at the North Green Frog location. The first code will be announced on next week's show that's entitled Psalm 23. Now, on to the show. Welcome. This is the Men Church Stuff Podcast. This is the show where brothers-in-law DJ Culp and Brad Coleman talk about stuff from our perspective as men. It's a show for anyone who wants to hear how Christians interact with the world. And don't worry, we're real. We've grown up in church, and we want to share our experiences with you. We'll talk life stuff, church stuff, man stuff, and stuff. Here we go. Greetings, listeners here and there and everywhere, all across the land. You have stumbled upon the Men Church Stuff podcast, unless you're a regular, and then you knew exactly what you were listening to. I'm one of your hosts, DJ Culp. As always, here with my beloved brother-in-law, Brad Coleman. Brad, what's up, man?
You know, I am just here and ready to talk before they get too warned of how crazy we are.
Yeah, I know, right? I am in a really good mood, dude.
Good.
It is fall. It is fall. I mean, like, real fall. It is here, and I get so yesterday I was walking across campus headed to teach a class, and dude, the sun was out, the humidity was way down, temperature was like low 70s, there was just this slight little crisp breeze, and I called Shara and I told her it's fall, and I got giddy. I just got giddy, and I wanted to call her and tell her that because I was just giddy. And she said, "You're just like a little kid." Yes, I am. Every year, dude. Every year, it never fails. When the cooler / colder weather starts to roll in, I mean, I'm Johnny on the spot. I'm really really rip roaring ready.
You're
to go.
Johnny on the spot.
Isn't that
what they call a? Those portable outhouses, isn't that a Johnny on the spot?
That would just be a portable John, yes.
Yeah, pretty like porta potty,
dude. If that's where
I'm pretty sure Johnny on the
never, I will.
I'm
never
pretty
use
sure
that
Johnny
again.
On the spot is a porta potty.
Okay,
now
well,
I'm gonna have to Google
yeah,
it. Real
you,
quick.
Yeah, while you Google that, I'm reserving the right to never say that again.
So you're in luck. Johnny on the Spot's a 1954 British crime drama.
Oh, nice.
Based on the novel Paid in Full by Michael Cronin.
Okay, well, I will continue using it then because it doesn't mean somewhere to relieve thyself.
At least that's the Wikipedia thing that.
So listeners, if you're new to the show, we welcome you. And we hope that you enjoy, you know, the conversation. Brad and I have been brothers-in-law for 19 years, and our podcast is, we're just two guys. We go to church, talk about stuff. And, today, Brad, our topic is actually, what are you laughing at, dude?
So Johnny, this is why I thought Johnny on the Spot in St. Louis.
Okay.
Is part of Republic Services, which is environmental services,
yes, it is. Yep,
which
yeah.
So that would
Except
cover
for the trash.
Like porta potties and stuff. So that's why I thought that that's what it what it was, because Johnny on the Spot in local to St. Louis, here's their free advertising, is portable toilets.
No, nope, nope.
So I just assumed that was what that meant.
Right.
Sorry, comfortable.
Yeah, comfortable. So yeah, our topic today is comfortable Christianity. And I just want to kind of hit it hard because I mean I'm guilty of this. But my opening question here, Brad. And again, I'm giddy because of the weather change. So if we had talked about this in July, I don't know, to be quite honest, if my answer would be the same. But opening question is, what is your ideal comfortable scenario?
My idea comfortable scenario,
Yes.
just in general in life, not
Ideal. Yeah.
probably slightly overcast, somewhere about 65, maybe 70 degrees on some clear water, on some kind of floating apparatus
Right.
with some good bait. And some fishing
I just love
reels.
that you said a floating apparatus, not
Yeah,
a
because
boat.
I mean,
Not
like
a
that,
boat.
like
Like, as long as I'm floating on
could be a
something.
floating dock, you know. I don't it's just on the water,
Right.
with
Would
some
you would you
coffee.
would you consider like a pool noodle a floating apparatus?
You know, if I got some fishing poles and they're biting, I probably don't care. Like that's the mode of transportation.
Right, yeah. You'd be a mad balance artist if you could fish on a pool noodle.
I mean, they make some pretty big ones.
I guess that's true.
Like a canoe out of a giant pool noodle. But
Right.
yeah, so, you know, and with, and honestly, you know, with Tabby, you know, somewhere close. So I'm enjoying, you know, her company and probably some food. I mean, if I'm fishing and I got coffee, like some peanut butter crackers is fine. Like I'm not even that picky. I'm like, but yeah, it's just not too hot. So that I'm not sweating,
right.
but not too cold so that I'm like not enjoying myself,
Nor
which is
are
a hard temperature for me.
that
Like
is,
it's
yeah.
like,
I mean, like you do have like a manly burly radiator that is constantly attached to your face.
yeah. I'll take that as a compliment.
Yeah. I meant your beard, not any other part of
Yeah.
your facial features.
Did you, did I send you the pictures the other day where I did the beard filter where it's a beardless filter? It takes your beard off.
Yes. Dude, okay, I'm glad that you mentioned that. So
That
I
was uncomfortable. I
okay.
was like, whoa, no.
I need to the office cast. I gotta know who it is because the pictures that you sent made me think it reminded me of Brian Baumgartner, who plays Kevin Malone on The Office.
Yes, actually,
That's exactly
I
who
thought
I
about
thought
that
you
when
looked like.
I was like, I definitely gonna keep my beard because like, I love Kevin on The Office. You know, I love the character, but
Yeah.
I don't want to be that character.
Yeah, that you looked exactly like him.
Yeah.
And I tried to find a I tried to find like a G like a GIF, a GIF of
Yeah.
Kevin, but I mean I didn't take the time to go search for one, but that's exactly who I thought you looked like.
Yeah.
So listeners, you know, just imagine, you know, Kevin from The Office, if you're familiar with The Office, but with maybe not quite as like pointed of a nose, but for the most part, everything else looks exactly the same. That's what Brad
Yeah.
would look like right now without his beard. So yeah, you
So
got to keep the beard, dude.
they're keeping the beard, yeah.
Yeah, you got to keep the beard. And to be quite honest, dude, I don't know if I've ever known you without facial hair.
Because like that's like in my adult life,
Yeah.
anytime that that has happened, it has just been like grow it back as fast as I can.
Yeah.
So your sister has been married to me for 19 years, and she has rarely seen me without facial hair. And
Yeah.
her response every time is, "Yeah, you're growing it back."
So when Sharon and
Yeah.
I started dating, I was working at Backyard Burger, and we had our manager made us, if we had facial hair, we had to wear a hairnet on our face.
I
No
got no.
way. That's a hard no for me. Which was clearly pre-COVID,
Yeah,
because,
no,
like, you know,
that's a find a new job, DJ.
that is,
That like for
well,
me,
and I did,
that's
and I
where I
decided,
go. I'm like,
I know,
nope, sorry guys, I'm out.
and thinking back on it, maybe I should have, but at the same
Bye-bye.
time, I was like, no, I mean, I've got a job here. Oh, I can get a job here. It'll pay well. So,
I mean, don't get me
I
wrong,
went
I
ahead and shaved
understand.
it off, but.
You don't want somebody like me without something covering his beard, flipping the burgers.
Yeah,
Because
that's
you're not
right.
talking about a little bitty hair, like if it
No.
were to happen, you're talking. We got some
Yeah.
people gagging right now
Yeah,
listening
right.
to the
Yeah,
episodes.
right. Yeah, you keep pulling that hair and it goes and goes and goes. So my ideal comfortable scenario is, as much as I love the outdoors like you, my ideal comfortable scenario is a cup of coffee, Honduran coffee, actually. Honduran coffee, midday, temperature outside is mid 50s, 60 at the highest. Mid 50s, so you don't have to turn the heat on in the house, but you know, either pajama pants or like sweatpants, t-shirt on the couch under a blanket, shades open, sun in. And I could be watching football. I could be watching maybe tennis. Though in the state of Tennessee, it's impossible to have both of those scenarios at the same time. But I mean, just chilling. Maybe actually, now that you know, since we have three kids, maybe like no TV, no anything. Maybe just sitting in silence, you know.
Do you want to know what my other side of ideal comfort would be? And this is so true, but I think it's weird. So I'm like, dressed warmly. Back in deep into a somewhat narrow cave where I can be completely surrounded by just like one exit and one entrance, and I got enough light, and I'm comfortably warm. No spiders. That's the hard part, but
Yeah, right. Yeah, you don't
no
get that one.
spiders and creepy crawlies, and just like a sleeping bag, and just be able to turn off the light and just sleep in complete darkness with all of the noise and the stuff of the world, so far
Right.
out there that it's just like quiet and dark,
Yeah.
and just take a nice long nap.
Yeah. So
I.
listeners, if you're new to the show, you need to know that Brad is delusional. And we have to reel him back into reality every now
Yeah.
and then.
Yeah. No responsibility in a
No
cave. That's
responsibility in a cage. Say that to Tom Hanks, Brad.
right,
Say that to him.
but be able to wake up and there be a pizza,
What
warm
the heck?
pizza.
Dude, where what are we doing now?
Like,
Like,
as long as we're delusional, we might
I
as
mean,
well
okay, that's
be.
true.
You said ideal. You didn't say
Realistically,
realistically.
well, fine. My ideal scenario is I'm in heaven. You know, I
Beat
mean, but like.
that, Brad.
Yeah, that's right. You didn't say Jesus. I got there first. Okay, so comfortable Christianity. I had this idea for this particular show nearly a year ago. And we haven't gotten it down, but we have now. So, Brad, opening question, directly relating to the topic is this. And this probably, I mean, we're going to probably chase this for a bit, but what about, in your experience anyways, what about Jesus makes people uncomfortable?
What about Jesus makes people uncomfortable?
And I like, let me explain why I at least if I remember right, why I thought about that particular question.
Yeah.
I've heard so many times in my, definitely my adult life, but I've heard so many times in my lifetime that like, if you use the word God, people are far less uncomfortable than if you say the word Jesus. If you say the name Jesus, that's when like you get the red flags, you get the slap on the wrist, you get the naysayers that come out of the woodwork. So yeah, that's kind of the origin of the question.
Because it's the exclusivity of Christ that gets people. Now, Christ is not exclusive with his invitation, right? He invites us all. He paid the price for all our sin. But Jesus says, I am the way, not a way, but the way. I am the truth, not a truth, but the truth. And I am the life,
John 14:6.
not a life, but the life. And then no one comes to the Father except through me.
Except through me.
So he makes himself the only way. And so he doesn't leave room for, well, your way or her way or whoever's way or
Yeah.
this way, or he doesn't leave room for pluralistic ideas of, well, you do your thing, I'll do my thing, and we'll all just be good in the end.
Right.
Now he gives us the free will to, yeah, sure, you can do your thing. You can choose your ideas. You can choose who you're going to serve or who you're going to follow or all this, but you do not get to choose what the outcome of that is.
That's
And
right.
so we don't like that as people because we want to choose both. I want to choose what I'm going to do, and I want to choose the outcome,
Yeah.
right? I want to be back in my cave with no spiders,
With no spiders and a
but
pizza.
yeah, and a pizza that's warm and
That's
hot.
warm. That's warm. Yeah. Not just a pizza that appeared out of
And
nowhere,
I,
but that's still hot. Yeah, right.
yeah, and I, you know, and I want it to be comfortable. I want there to be good airflow back in this cave without air, without, all these things. And so I think that's a big part of the thing is, again, Jesus doesn't leave room for any other gods, for any other ologies,
Yeah, right.
So Jesus says it's my way or hell.
Or hell. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I
So,
mean, that's true.
choose. And you are, I don't want you to, but you are welcome to choose the other way. But all other ways lead to hell. And I'm the only way to heaven. So that makes people don't want that. They want a Jesus who is okay with whatever they're doing and whatever they want to be. And who's going to give them the blessings of God? I think it's where Israel got, like oftentimes, and we do too, is like, look, God, I want your blessings, and I want all your goods and all the good stuff, but I don't want to have to do it your way. And so I think that the more you get into God's word, the more you see just that exclusive nature. I mean, like you cannot read the Bible. You can't read very far into the Bible and come out with the idea that God's okay with pluralism. He's okay with you. I mean, it's right there in the Ten Commandments for anyway. I mean, if you just zoom in there,
Yeah.
no other gods before me. And he's not saying like just in rank, he's saying just at all
At all. That's right.
in
Yep.
my presence. And guess what? I'm omnipresent, so that means nowhere. No other gods, just me. And
Yeah.
I'm jealous.
Well, and to that point, when you said that we want both of it, there's two things that popped in my mind. You know, we not only want our own situation, but we also want our own outcome. Number one, and I don't want to chase this because I mean it's just a it seriously is a moot point, but I really want to say it. That to me, that has become the epitome of what social media represents. Social media has become, at least some elements of it have become, a platform for, you know what? I actually can say anything and everything that I want to, and I'm not going to receive any negative outcome for it. I don't have to answer for it. I could just get to do it and go on with my life. But the other thing that I thought about was, listeners, I love C.S. Lewis. I love his analytical, logical, and practical mind. Like, it's in my experience, it's kind of a rare author that has all three of those wrapped into one. And one of my favorite C.S. Lewis quotes reads, "What would really satisfy us would be a God who said of anything we happened to like doing, what does it matter so long as they are contented? We want, in fact, not so much a father in heaven as a grandfather in heaven, a senile benevolence who, as they say, liked to see young people enjoying themselves, and whose plan for the universe was simply that it might be truly said at the end of each day, a good time was had by all." Like, I don't, I'm trying to remember if that came from Mere Christianity. I feel like it did, but if it's not, I can't remember what it directly came from. But like, when I read that, I thought, holy crap, that is so true. That, like, we don't, you're exactly right, Brad, that we don't want, it's like, when I say we, I even think that there's a bunch of Christians, and I mean, like, depending on the day, I'm very likely to be one of them, but like, we don't want the absoluteness of John 14, 6. We really would like to have our cave, our hot pizza. We would like to have my Ferrari or Lamborghini, whichever, day I decide. But we don't get everything in that type of fashion.
But here's the thing too. I want to look at the other extreme, right? So there's some people that look at that and they go, so as a Christian, I'm supposed to be miserable, right? I'm supposed to be like there should, and I'm like, no, that's also not what God's saying. Yes, he says in this world you will have trouble, right? But he doesn't say in me. He doesn't say in me you will have trouble, right?
That's right.
He says abide in me, and I will in you, and you'll bear much fruit, right? He says perfect love casts out fear. Right, so the closer we get to Jesus, and the more we experience his perfect love, the more fear gets kicked out the window. And so there's going to be suffering, and God uses suffering. I mean, Jesus suffered. But I've thought this for a long time, since I've had kids, and I really think that I really think I'm not wrong. Right? I do think God wants us to be happy, but I think more than that, he wants us to be holy. Right?
Yes.
Because happiness is an emotion, and we're not going to be happy all the time.
And happiness is fleeting. Like,
It is fleeting.
happiness in and of itself is a temporary emotion.
But it's not bad. I mean,
No.
pizzas are fleeting too, but they tend to make me happy for a little bit. I don't want to put my soul's wellness on pizza, but I am thankful that we have pizza to enjoy, and God has given us that. Now, if I never get to eat another pizza again, it's not going to change my eternity. So holiness. That God makes us holy in Christ, and then we're to walk holy because of the work he's done. And we can now walk holy because he's not perfectly, but holy, and because he is dwelling in us, right? He is sanctifying us, but we're not going to be happy all the time because that is an emotion, right? Just like we shouldn't be angry all the time because that's an emotion. We shouldn't be sad all the time. Because that's an emotion, but it is part of the journey. It's part of the music of life, the ups and the downs and ins and the outs. But comfortable. Again, I think, like, does God want us to be comfortable? I think that depends on how we define comfortable. If we define comfortable like we generally do, then yeah, no, probably not very often does God want us to be comfortable.
Yeah.
But if we define comfortable by, I think God wants us to be comfortable in his presence so we can come boldly before the throne of grace. I think he wants to be comfortable with him as a good father who, when we screw up and mess up and sin, that we don't go, oh, I got to try to hide this from God.
Right.
And you go, hey, I know he already knows. I'm going to take it to him and go, hey, look what I did. Sorry again. Help me again. And that's what he wants. So I think he wants us to be comfortable. But I think if we look at our idea of comfort as being not really doing anything productive and staying away from all stuff that hurts, then yeah, I don't think God wants that. You don't become a very good football player by being comfortable in practice.
So what it almost sounds like, ooh. All right, I'm gonna throw in an idea here. The word comfortable, the way the conversation is going, Brad, might actually sound like we're flirting with apathy. What are your thoughts?
Flirting with apathy.
Yeah. Sounds like we're kind of flirting with apathy. It's like, so what about Jesus makes people uncomfortable? Let's table the let's table I'm let's come back to the apathy here in just a second. So for me, I think one of the major things that makes people feel uncomfortable about Jesus is the denying oneself. Deny yourself, take up your cross daily and follow me, right? There's and I don't remember which gospel it's in, but one of the gospels has sort of just this almost like a montage of people,
Montage, that's a good word.
montage of people coming up to Jesus saying, "Can I follow you?" There's three guys. The last guy who walks up to Jesus and says, I want to follow you. Jesus says, okay, fine, follow me. And then the guy says this, let me go back and say goodbye to my family. And Jesus says this, anyone who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not worthy of the kingdom of heaven. So I think that there is, for
Right,
me,
so I'd have to go look at the scripture, right? Because sometimes some of those things are taken out of wrong context. Because for one, and I don't know if this is the same, like he goes, there's one guy says, "Let me go back and bury my father," basically. And Jesus says, "No, let the dead bury their dead,"
yeah, so
right?
that's guy number two. The first
Yeah,
guy
so
is, can I follow you? And the guy and Jesus says,
but here's the thing. But here's the thing about the understanding is that that was a phrase in the time that meant like his father was most likely still alive, right? He wasn't saying, "Hey, Jesus, let me go to my dad's funeral." He was saying, "Hey, after my dad's funeral, after my dad passes, let me come and follow you." And so I think sometimes in those context, like we have to look at the context, or else we go like, "Oh, Jesus said, no, you can't go to your dad's funeral. Come follow me."
Well,
Sorry, I'm a little bit distracted with.
the context of the third guy, he says, let me go say goodbye to my family. And Jesus said, whoever puts his hand to the plow and looks behind him is not worthy of the kingdom of heaven. Meaning, at least to me, it means that you can't have both your old life and Jesus. Like,
Right. Well, so when we look at
and as you're processing that, let me finish this. As you're processing that, Brad, I think that one of the major things that makes people feel very uncomfortable with Jesus is that he requires me to die to myself daily, which I do not do, but he dies to myself, or he makes us die to ourselves daily, pick up our cross and follow him. And That plays right into what you were saying. Like basically the old adage, you can't have cake and eat it too, which I think is a stupid adage because it doesn't make any sense. But anyways,
It makes perfect sense,
no, it
DJ.
doesn't. No, it doesn't.
Yes,
No,
it
it doesn't.
does.
No. Okay, fine. I'm going to change it. You can't have your warm pizza in a cave and you get to eat it. You get to either have cold pizza and you can eat it, or you can have a warm pizza and you can't eat it. What are you going to do, Brad? See, it doesn't make any sense, does
It does make sense because I can either sit
it?
there and have my pizza, or
No, Brad.
I can have consumed my pizza and now it's no longer there. So I can't keep it. So I can't
You,
keep it and consume it too. I have to choose one or the
You
other,
have to choose one or the other.
which is why you can't have your cake and eat it too, because you can't keep it and still have it.
I've
So it's like,
never, dude, that's no joke. I've never thought about it like that.
yeah,
Thank you, Brad.
that's what it means. It's like if you have $10, you can't put it in the bank and keep
You
it and
can't save it
spend it
and spend
too.
it at the
You
same
can't save
time.
and spend too. And that's, yeah, that's what it means.
Got
So you can not have your cake
it.
and eat it too.
You
I mean,
cannot.
you can have it briefly,
Right.
but you have to give it up to eat it.
Well, and okay, well then in that case, it does make sense then that Jesus would say, whoever puts his hand to the plow and looks behind him is not worthy of the kingdom of heaven. So, I definitely think that the idea of dying to self, you cannot choose yourself over me. You can't do it.
The gospel is hard. The gospel is simple,
The gospel, yeah.
but it's hard, right? Because the gospel requires that we as people who don't like this have to own that we are sinners, that we don't live up to God's standard, that we're not good enough to get to heaven, that we can't earn it by merit, like we can't earn it by a reward, like we can't purchase it, we can't do enough to get it. And we don't like that because we want to deserve it, we want to earn it, we want to, be able to say, I. And the message of the gospel is you can't. So Jesus did,
Yes,
so that you can.
so that you can.
So in Christ, apart from me, you can do nothing, he told the apostles, right? Which he had told before, greater things than these that I do, you'll do. But apart from me, you can do nothing.
But apart from me, you
So
can't.
it has to be in him. So I think that is, it's hard. It's hard for me. I love Jesus, but I want to, and I think sometimes here's part of the paradox, right? Is the more I love Jesus, the more I want to be able to earn it and deserve it. So I can be like, look, Dad, I did good. Look what I brought to you. Look. But the message of the gospel is, no, I can't. So Jesus did. So I get to enjoy heaven because of what Jesus did, not because of what Brad did.
Right. Yeah.
And that's hard because we have to lay aside and die to our humanity. We have to die
Yeah.
to that part of me that wants that pride of doing it. And
And that right there, I'm glad that you went there, because I think that's a beautiful segue into another major, major area that I feel that I've even heard Christians talking about, not in the same sense, or not in the same way that you just mentioned it. But I'll say, and I don't necessarily want to unpack this and chase the rabbit, because I've got a couple more questions that I want us to answer. But the idea of a works-based theology, it is definitely self-centric. It is definitely, God, look what I did, and God says, oh, dude, yeah, all right, man, yeah, that's that. You have increased your worth. Like, you're right. That's impossible. Can't do
Right,
that.
we can't do it.
We cannot do that. We can gain the identity of Christ by submitting to him. The end.
Well, and
Like
so and here's the
that's all we can
beautiful
do.
thing. We have to reframe comfortable, right?
Yes.
But when we get comfortable with that truth and we are in Christ, it's freeing.
Yeah,
It
dude.
is freeing.
Yeah, because we can't actually
Jesus
do
did
it.
it, right? And because he did it for me, now I can live from victory. Now I can walk holy because he is holy and he's made me holy. So I'm not walking to get holy. I'm walking because I am holy. And so I ought to walk like he walked.
Right.
Because I'm holy.
But the only reason why I can claim holiness is because Jesus is holy.
Right.
Yeah.
And but it's beautiful when we can just go, look, it's not about me. It was never about me. But Jesus loves me anyway.
Right.
Like, I'm a speck of dust in the universe. But to Jesus, I'm worth more than the sparrows.
Right.
I'm worth dying for.
And this may be neither here nor there, but even atheists would believe the first half of what you just said. We are just specks of dust in the universe. And shoot, man, the more that we not just learn, but like, you know, science morons like me, the more pictures that I see from the James Webb telescope, the more I begin to conceptualize how unbelievably insignificant like a single human being is to the size of the universe. You are not wrong that we are just a speck, but God loves us that much.
Yeah. It's this incredible.
Yeah. So, you got something else?
Well, I'm just going like, so I pulled up comfortable. How do you define comfortable? Because I think that's very important, because sometimes we use a word.
Yep.
And we've all got our own definition of this word. And so what are we saying? Because number one, it says, especially of clothes or furnishing, providing physical ease and relaxation. You know, I want my clothes to be comfortable. I want the chair to be comfortable. Yeah. I want it to provide that ease and relaxation.
The cave is not comfortable.
Yeah. Well, that's a matter of opinion.
No, it's not. It's not opinion, Brad. Yeah. Brad. It's so objective.
But so it's when we look at that, does God want us to be comfortable in our Christianity? Well, yes and no. Because comfort is a place of what? Green pastures and still waters. That's comfortable. And it's supposed to be comfortable.
Right.
But we don't stay in the green pastures and still waters. We've got to walk through dark valleys. There's mountains and there's valleys and there's all these things. So comfortable is a part of it. Yes. But God doesn't want us to just stay comfortable.
Right.
Because then we die.
Yeah.
Do you know they did the study with amoebas? I think it was amoebas. Like there's this type of amoeba, and they, as they look at it, like it's constantly fighting to survive, right? Like everything in its environment is basically attacking it in some way. And so it's constantly just fighting for its life to survive, just to survive. And so what they did was they isolated it and took all of this other stuff out to see what would happen. Do you know what happened?
It died.
It died.
So
it died.
Yeah, it needed everything. Yeah.
When all of that was taken away and it was completely comfortable, it died.
So let's bring back into the frame of the conversation. And listeners, bear with me. I promise it will make sense. And the reason it will make sense is because of the definition of the word apathy. Typically, when we use the word apathy, we think about like a couch potato not giving a crap about anything, which I think is definitely true in its own context. But Brad, there's a men's Bible study that I'm a part of, and we're going through a book where our author, in the particular chapter we're in, our author has actually given us the etymology of the word apathy. The A is the Greek prefix for not, right, or no, and P-A-T-H-Y it comes from the word pathos, which means a quality that evokes pity or sadness, and pathos also can mean suffering or can mean passion. So without suffering, apathy is without passion or without suffering, without sadness, without pity. And that right there goes, if we take that definition in its like exact translation, then you are exactly right that yes, you know, He does make me lay down in green pastures. He does make me sit down next to still waters, and that is comfortable, no
And it's
doubt.
restoring. It
And
restores
it's
my soul.
very restorative. But he's with me through the valley of the shadow of death. But why is that required? Because without it, we are actually apathetic. By its own definition, it means that we are without sadness, we are without suffering. And that is absolutely 100% another reason why I think that Jesus makes people feel uncomfortable, whether like Christian or not, is that, I mean, what did Jesus tell his disciples? You will be persecuted because of my name, right?
But oftentimes, right, if we're honest, that discomfort is because we're having to lay down ourselves and do it Jesus's way.
And
That
dude,
what
like part of
the more that we are ready
that's where
to do it
growth
Jesus way,
happens.
yeah, right. Well, Corrie ten Boom said, "I've learned to hold everything lightly in life, because it hurts less when God pries it from your fingers." But
Yes.
again, Corrie ten Boom would talk about how great of a father and good and grace and loving God is. So, look, with the understanding that when God pries it from your fingers, it's for a reason and it's for a purpose. And it's not because he's a jerk or he's being mean, because he's a good father. Now, I would be doing, with all of the stuff that you've just talked about, I'd be doing great injustice if I didn't ask you, do you know the difference between ignorance and apathy? I don't know, and I don't care.
That's true. That is the difference between ignorance and apathy. Well done, Brad. All right, so I know we're running low on time, but we've got maybe like time for one more question here. And I'm going to ask you this, Brad. So listeners, I haven't prepped Brad on these questions. And actually, again, this topic I thought about like a year ago, so I'm even trying to remember what I was thinking when I wrote it down. But Brad, how has the church impressed you by resisting comfortable Christianity? I really wanted to ask, how has the church unwittingly promoted it? Maybe we can talk about that on another podcast, but let's kind of end with a rah-rah-rah type of mindset. Yeah, how has the church impressed you by resisting comfortable Christianity?
Okay, so you've heard the adage, hurt people, right?
Yes, absolutely, I have.
Well, I
Yeah.
think the rest of that statement should be, healed people heal people.
Yeah. Oh, Brad.
And I think that's where, like, when you see people who have been healed, who have been comforted by Jesus, who have been brought through these things, then you see that heart of God come out in them to be healers, to be comforters, to go out of their way to lay down their self and do things that maybe they didn't even want to do because somebody else needs them. Somebody else, setting aside their time because somebody else needs someone to listen and to be there. Just those things. And so when I see that love, now I think we do better in times of great emergency with those things, because we see the need greater, and I see people come out and step up. But I love to see that in the everyday, where people are in tuned enough to other people's lives, where they can see those smaller crises and just be helpful. They're not carrying the load that the person needs to carry for them. Although occasionally I think we're supposed to do that, right? Hey, just give me your backpack and I'll carry it up the hill
Well,
because
yeah,
you're
all right,
exhausted.
but hang on, Brad.
But
No. I don't think that you're giving enough credit to those moments,
yeah.
because to me, all right, so
Well,
if you
maybe
think
they
about,
are burdens there.
I mean, yeah, I mean, if you think
I
about it,
mean, we
like
are supposed to carry each other's burdens, but not the load. The load is the thing that I'm supposed to do myself,
yes, but
right? But
Galatians,
sometimes that load gets too heavy
yeah,
and
but
it becomes
Galatians
a
6:2,
burden.
right, bear each other's burdens, therefore fulfilling the law of Christ. So to me and you, in this hypothetical situation that you've set up, I would be willing to say that the people that are doing those little bitty things, When we are willing to call it a little bitty thing, more than likely our own perspective means it probably wouldn't mean a ton to me, but I'm glad they're doing it. But here's the thing, if we are in stressful situations where our own loads, as you were just mentioning, that we have to carry are in fact being weighing us down, it's those little bitty things that we do not consider to be little bitty. And let me give you an example, and listeners, just you know, to kind of put a fine bow on it. So our Sunday school class at church, we just said goodbye to one of the husbands who is currently serving, and I think he's in the guard, but like he's headed to Kuwait. And we were talking about this past Sunday that Jacob and Jessica, shout out to Jacob and Jessica, Jacob Heyman, hey man, and his unit, we were praying for you, wish the best for you. Thank you so much for your service. But here's the thing. What we did is, you know, we had like a little money tree. We gave him some gift cards. We had like a breakfast. To our Sunday school class, and again, we were talking about this past week. It wasn't anything for us to do. It wasn't hard. Like none of us, like bent over backwards and were in extreme stress. You know, it wasn't that kind of bearing a burden. But I know for a fact that to Jacob and Jessica, those little bitty things that most of us would think, well, yeah, why wouldn't you do that? Meant an enormous amount to them. And so to that point, I would agree with you that the church, in my experience, I have seen the local church, not the church capital C, but the local church, do really well at.
And again, when you see that, it's so encouraging. It's so encouraging sometimes to be on the receiving end, and sometimes that's harder. So let me say this, as someone who finds it harder to be on the receiving end, okay? Bill Fort, who was a pastor of our church when we were in First Baptist Richmond, before I was in the pastorate, he preached a sermon that changed the way Tabby and I look at things and do things, right? And it was basically this: don't you steal other people's blessings.
Dude.
Right? So when you do not receive love from other people, when you do not receive those gifts and those things that that God may be putting on their heart to give you,
right,
then in essence, you are stealing their blessing. So you receive those things and don't steal their blessing. And that's helped Tabby and I. We've talked about it so many times. When there's times when we want to be like, you know, somebody says, oh, hey, I can do this for you, or let me give you this, or let me do this. And our first inclination is, no, you know, we don't want to be that burden on you. But then God brings that back to mind and we go, you know what? All right. Well, I just want to let you know, thank you. And I appreciate that blessing, because they are getting blessed by being the giver. They're getting blessed by following Christ and being that example of his love. So yeah, so don't steal their blessing. I do want to also just, not necessarily correct, but add on, because I said hurt people and healed people heal people. But I think maybe I want to even emphasize healing people heal people. Because we're here on earth and we're not perfect, so we're not completely healed.
Right.
And so I don't want people to go, well, I'm not healed yet, I can't. No, but if God has healed that part of you and you're still in the healing process, you can still be a healer. And my guess is if you're following Jesus and you're filled with his love, you already are and you just don't know it.
Yeah.
And so I hope that this week God shows you how you are healing others.
Dude, that's a solid prayer request.
Yeah.
Yeah. Listeners, ask. Because I think it's, and Brad, that's a legit ask. Because sometimes we get so wrapped up and caught up in, you know, the insatiable pace of life, right? It's just the pace of life cannot be fulfilled. It's just so fast. and busy and crammed that we can, it's really easy for us to get bogged down in the thought that like we're not doing good to others. And to be quite honest, at Brad, you've said this on the show before, be careful what you pray for. Like, so if you pray for rain, carry an umbrella. So if, I mean, listeners, if you ask, and I certainly encourage you to do so, how am I healing others? God may actually impress upon your heart, you're not right now, but I'm glad you asked. And now here's what to do about it.
Here's
You
some
know, so
opportunity.
here's an opportunity.
Here's an
And
opportunity.
I will say, Brad, that in my experience, and I'm gonna, dude, I'm just gonna brag on our church right now. And I'm unashamedly so. Sharon and I attend First Baptist in Milan. I don't care that the word Baptist is a part of the name. I seriously don't care. But our church in the last 3 years, we have gone through some, no, well, in the last 5 years, we've gone through some dark, dark times. Like it was a valley of the shadow of death. And we had to go through it so that we were able to begin to heal from things that were plaguing us that, Brad, I'm convinced we didn't even know were plaguing us. And here's the thing, because we're now on this side of it, I am seeing our church begin to blossom in a way that I've only heard of other churches blossoming. And to see how our church is becoming far more sympathetic to the needs of others. What is it that when I say sinners, I am not being judgmental? Every Christian that I've ever met is a sinner, including yours truly. So like the fact that yes, Jesus heals us, but because he heals us, we are healed eternally, but we are still dealing with the brokenness that our human nature is dealing with. I have seen our church in the last year and a half, 2 years, become far more sympathetic to that side of our humanity. And dude, the idea of should we just remain comfortable? Like, and let's like let me put it this way. Should we remain the church that we've been? Because it's really easy to continue to be the church that you've been as the church that you've been. No. That's, and I'm sorry, that is also comfortable Christianity, right?
Okay. All right. Psalm 23, right? If we stay by the green pastures and the still waters, right? And we avoid the valley of the shadow of death, which, by the way, was never meant by God to kill us,
Correct.
right?
Correct.
For him to take us through, right? If we stay in the valley where we're comfortable, then we miss the anointing on the other
Oh
side.
my gosh,
We
dude.
miss
Bam.
the table
Yeah.
prepared for us in the presence of our enemies.
That's right.
We miss all of that. I mean, green pastures and still waters are good, but not as good as anointing, not as
That's
good
right.
as the table prepared for before us in the presence of our enemy. So if we stay in comfortable Christianity, then we miss the blessings that God has out to pursue us, by the way, because I loved Psalm 23 more and more the more I read it. Because what is it? And surely goodness and mercy
Will follow
will
me
follow me.
all
Not,
the days of my life, yeah.
right. So two ways that I see that. One, it's pursuing me. Goodness and mercy are pursuing me because God has. And two, it's going to follow me. So when I leave it, that's one of the things that I'm leaving behind, goodness and mercy. Right? I go to a Mexican restaurant, love a good Mexican restaurant. You walk out, you smell like the Mexican restaurant.
That's
You know,
actually
you've
very true.
been in a Mexican restaurant.
You can't run away from that one.
So, right. So that when I'm surrounded by Christ and that goodness and mercy, and it's rubbing off on me, I'm going to start smelling like it, which means when I leave the room, that aroma is going to. It's going to
Yeah.
follow me where I go, and it's going to be that marker left behind. Man, so
Listeners,
exciting.
listeners, just to let you know, Brad was being metaphorical about smelling like God. I don't really know. I don't like yeah, learn.
Jesus didn't have
Yeah.
deodorant, so we
Jesus
shouldn't
didn't
wear
wear
deodorant either.
right. No,
or
Jesus,
the other thing with
Jesus
was
was the son of God.
sinless. Jesus was sinless, so he didn't smell. I don't think that's
No. Yeah,
biblical.
I'm pretty. I'm pretty sure that when he would dookie a diaper, that it reeked. Yeah. So, all right. To that point, we need to wrap this up. Listeners, thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you for hanging out with us.
Think
We
I'm gonna be
love
preaching
doing
on
this.
Psalm 23
You're right.
soon.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. The real reason that we started this podcast is so Brad could get sermon ideas.
Good sermons.
No, really, thank you for hanging out with us. Thank you for choosing our show. If you, we really hope that you've enjoyed it. Subscribe to the show, rate and review the show. Let us know how we're doing. Share the show with everybody that you're around. You can follow us on our Facebook group page. You can follow us on Instagram. But interact with us, comment on our Facebook group page for all the episodes that come out. Let us know your thoughts. Is there anything that you really liked? Is there anything you didn't like? What made you laugh? Anything that made you cry? Did anything make you like, while you were mid sip of your wonderful cup of coffee, spew it out? Let us know that too. But listeners, yeah. Hope that you've enjoyed your time, and we certainly hope that you tune in next time. Brad, I love you, buddy.
Love you too. We love you guys.
We love you guys. Listeners, we will catch you next time.